Welcome to the Human Design and Beyond podcast with your hosts, Leslie Wegleitner and Lori Wakefield. In these podcasts, we discuss all things related to human design. It's here where we share our knowledge, insights, and experiences. Join us as we dive into authentic conversations about letting go of resistance, identifying conditioning, and so much more. Our goal for you is to live in alignment with your unique human design. These quick bouts of inspiration will bring forward things to contemplate about your individual charts and inspire experiences in your everyday life to support your journey.
Welcome. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Lori.
Hi, everyone. I'm Leslie.
So today we've invited a guest to join us today. Her name is Amber Clements, and she is one of the rare reflector types. So, I reached out to Amber a couple weeks ago to ask if she'd be willing to be a guest on our podcast. And I think I told you this, Amber, I'd been thinking about asking you seriously for like probably 2 years, because I saw you're a student of Karen Curry Parker's. That's where you got your certification, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So I saw you like in the directory, and I was like, a reflector. And like just like your face and everything, you just seemed friendly and nice. And I was like, I'm gonna reach out to her someday. So that's how that came about. But I'm really, you know, Leslie and I are both like just really happy that you were, you know, able to do it and willing to do it. So Leslie, did you want to start by asking Amber some questions, or you want me just to open it?
It doesn't really matter. Does Amber want to just kind of give maybe like how she got in, you know, her first understanding that she was a reflector? I'm kind of interesting.
Yeah. I was thinking about that too, Amber. So like when did you hear about human design?
Oh gosh. Quite a few years ago now. A friend of mine ran the chart. You know, this is back when it wasn't a little bit less accessible, wasn't all, sort of all over the, you know, everywhere. Mm-hmm. And she ran my chart and told me about this, you know, this new thing. And anyway, she got very excited when she ran my chart and said, oh, you're this thing. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's nice. Just send me an email. And she's a wonderful friend, but sometimes some of the things she sort of used to present me with were a little bit like, well, where did that come from?
Right.
You know, so I sort of took it with a grain of salt. And one night I was just at home. I don't know. I was a bit bored. I think it was a Saturday night, and I happened to see the email and thought, oh, what's this about? And I had a little read. And then I read more and more, and it was like I was so it was basically about what being a reflector was about. Mm-hmm. And as I'm reading the lines, I kind of, this is like, there's something.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my goodness me. Yeah. And I think I instantly sent away for this free, more detailed report, because it was, and I think I got it pretty quickly from memory. Anyway, I just remember being absolutely stuck to the seat going through this detailed report about, and it was like somebody had captured my life mm-hmm. into a few pages in a way that I just had never been seen before, or even I wouldn't have described myself that way until somebody else did, if that makes sense. So mm-hmm. So many details about how I felt, that always felt a bit strange, and I couldn't quite put my words around it. And there they were in print mm-hmm. in this sort of explanation about being a reflector. So it was a moment of ahas, obviously. And I don't think it matters what type you are. You get ahas with the human design chart, don't mm-hmm. you, about, you know,
yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's what's happening. But I think what really got me was some of the unusualness, some of the different stuff, some of the things that I'd been calling out for years to people about things that are happening or changing or what we need. And people would look at me strangely about it. And then a few years later, everybody's doing the things that I was mm-hmm. calling out. And so it's this sort of this sensing that you had about what you're here to do and receive that maybe other people aren't ready for until they're ready for it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So, yeah. So I just wanted to say too, for any of our listeners who aren't familiar with the reflector, it's one of the, it is the rarest human design type. About like 1-2% of the population is a reflector. So, so you got, you went through the reading, or the report that you got, and then did you decide that you wanted to start studying it, or did you, was it,
Not straight away. I think I sat with it a while. I did a bit of reading. I'm a 1-3 with a lot of gates mm-hmm. in my chart that like to get deep, way too much perfectionism. So for me, I really just had to sink my teeth into it for a while. And then at the right time, I started to get curious about studying. So I started to learn a little bit, self-taught for, you know, initially. I didn't really deep dive into studying it myself until the right opportunity presented. Sort of something that felt like it was coming. Let's just say the planets are aligned, and I walked out of a pretty big corporate career mm-hmm. Into it. Not actually purposely. I sort of stepped out of the career going, this isn't working anymore. And suddenly opportunities came my way in the human design space. Mm-hmm. Mm. And before I knew it, I was traveling to the States to do some more study, and it kind of went from there. So truly followed the flow rather than something I tried to initiate or push mm-hmm. into action as a reflector.
Yeah, you have a fascinating background. I looked at your about page on your website, and you have experience with and project management too. And you do, is it biofield tuning?
Yeah, biofield tuning.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you started studying the human design, and then decided to do the certification. And
yeah, I just dug my teeth in a bit, and then I really wanted to get deep. So I spent time learning it. I know there was encouragement to go out and start using it, but for me, I was like, I really feel like I need to really know it and embody mm-hmm. it before I bring it to anyone else. And then one day. I was probably ready, but I wasn't conscious of being ready. People started asking me, are you doing readings, or are you mm-hmm. doing sessions? And sort of from there, that's how it evolved. As a reflector, sometimes it's not so much that you get invitations like projectors, but you get initiations. That's certainly been my experience. And so life was really initiating me on that journey. I'd started writing a few books just for mm-hmm. something, you know, that I enjoy doing that I never finished. But one of these was studying to journal about being a reflector. Mm-hmm. And in that process, I ended up writing a book
about the book, right? You know? Which is on Amazon, which is available on Amazon. And we'll link to it in the show notes. Yep. About being a reflector.
I think that journey for me was just, it was really, there was no pushing. In fact, anytime I've tried to push something, it just sort of falls on its face. So for me, it has to be very much what I call in that flow, in that initiating space that allows me to, okay, so that's coming along and that feels right. So I step into that space. And that's kind of how it's been with human design. I really haven't, it's naturally evolved and progressed for me mm-hmm. in a way that I didn't go out there trying to, you know, hike it and pull it across the line.
Right.
And I've been enjoying it ever since.
Yeah. So Leslie, I've been doing all the talking or all the asking. So you want to ask Amber some questions?
Sure. So my question to you is with all those energies having mm-hmm. such an open chart, how, you know, what are your tools to help you kind of, you know, what's yours, what's not? Yeah. You know, I'm assuming the bio-tuning and the bio-scan and all that kind of stuff kind of played a role with helping you understand and how to have boundaries with all that.
Yeah, look, I think the thing, the brilliant thing about being a reflector, once we recognize it, is that we've got this Teflon aura. So we've got this mm-hmm. real ability to actually mm-hmm. protect ourselves from being conditioned mm-hmm. that nobody else has. In fact, I think something I was speaking about the other day, or talking about how Ra Uruhu, who the mm-hmm. the Chandler of the Human Design System mm-hmm. talked about, if, you know, if any type was to really survive on the planet, would be reflectors, mm-hmm. which is really interesting, I think, you know, because, mm-hmm. you know, you think naturally it'd be, oh, be you guys, the manifesting generators who've got so much dynamic, beautiful energy and power. But I think what it is if we understand, it's almost like a muscle. If we understand how to sort of switch it on or how to be conscious of it, we can really, yes. we can take everything in, but actually not let it penetrate in a way that's harmful.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, which I think it's a blessing once you realize that that's, you know, that's a tool that you've got naturally mm-hmm. Within you as a reflector. But I think obviously once you find out about being a reflector, you need to, you know, there's some work you need to do at first to get rid of all the stuff that we've been carrying around. Mm-hmm. And that's when, honestly, there's so many different fabulous tools out there. What's really worked for me and certainly what I've seen with other reflectors is getting out to nature, grounding, sound, frequency work, mm-hmm. Anything that's just about letting go, sort of releasing, because that's really what it is. It's just that holding on to things that really no longer serve in those, on all those open centers, mm-hmm. Letting go of the stories, letting go of the energy, letting go of the, you know, expectations. It's almost like as a reflector, you've got to let go of these expectations that you can be a manifesting generator leading the charge, you know, like it's a dream to be doing that, but it's not necessarily
right.
A healthy one for us.
Well, you know, one thing that's interesting. Okay. So the lunar phases are something that reflectors are affected by more so than other types. So now do you like as the moon goes through the different signs and it goes through, it activates different gates in your chart, do you find that you identify with like being like a generator or being when the sacral is activated, you know, or yeah. when, go ahead.
No, you go on.
Yeah. So yeah. I was just going to say, okay, or when you have like a motor to the throat, when that's activated, do you find that, you know, you feel more like you can identify with the manifestor energy? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I absolutely know what you're saying. Look, it's really interesting you say that because I've done a lot of lunar tracking with transits and mm-hmm. it's, you know, you get what we call temporary definition. Yes. So mm-hmm. for a while there, what I did initially track when I first knew that was part of our tool process. And I certainly found that during the month, there are times when I'm more energized, I have more energy, or I mm-hmm. can speak more clearly or communicate or whatever it is when we, you know, connections in the chart. But I personally wasn't finding that there was a consistency like, with the hookups, with the transits.
Okay.
And I've heard that with a few reflectors that I've worked with. So I always say to all reflectors, you know, go out there and track it to see how that feels for you. Mm-hmm. But I know that there are certain times I can feel it coming when it's like, this is a time when I need to be doing less. This is a time when I can really ramp it up. Mm-hmm. So I've kind of been less tracking now and more sensing into where that is or how I'm feeling during the month. Mm-hmm. Mm. But yeah, it's what I have really noticed as well is while we don't talk about it being the actual phases of the moon, affecting reflectors, what I have noticed is a lot of reflectors talk about that, in fact, often the lunar, the full moon or the new moon can have okay. quite a significant impact. Uh-huh. I know for me, I don't sleep during a full moon. Like I'm wired to the, you know, mm-hmm. And with a new moon, it's just so juicy and comforting. And there's something really lovely about going through that phase of the moon. And that's something I've found in common with a number of reflectors. So yes, the transit tracking really is useful for some people because they get to see how things hook up for them. But personally for me, I find that it's not as straightforward as that.
Okay.
So yeah. Then how does your decision-making how does that affect your decision-making if you're not really tracking? I mean.
So it's about timing. It's about giving okay. yourself plenty of time. It's right, you know, like basically, the more time we give ourselves, and of course, whether the transits are actually impacting us physically that we can feel it or not, we're still going through that process. So the more time we give ourselves, the more chance we can feel into whether something's right. So we're not making rash decisions.
Right.
Definitely something I noticed with reflectors is if we know, like if we're already on a path, for example, when you said, would you like to speak, you know, on your podcast? I'm already doing this sort of work. It feels aligned when I'm, you know, when somebody contacts me that's in a similar field that seems aligned with where they've, you know, who they've been working through. When something comes along, it already feels like it's part of the journey. There is no decision to make. Mm-hmm. It's a clear step. When there is a decision, when it's something that's not aligned or something that we have to think about or consider, that's when it's best to have the time to make the decision. Right. And so what usually happens is over that period of time, you process it through lots of different, almost like the emotional wave, but not so emotionally bound. Mm-hmm. You know, you're feeling into it over a number of different aspects of yourself and how you feel over, you know, energetically, emotionally, mentally, until something clicks. What's right. that?
I was just going to say, do you find that talking to other people, like just talking it out, can help Absolutely. With the decision? Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Talking it out, finding a way to just to give yourself time to consider it, mm-hmm. feeling into it. There's definitely talking, but it's got to be to the right people.
Yeah, exactly.
The trouble, yeah. If you're talking and people are trying to give you advice, it's not conducive to the talking process. It right. really needs to be just, let me air this. Right. Let me process this. I don't need a solution. I'll find my own solution. I just need to process it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I know that that's something that's super important to reflectors mm-hmm. is being in the right environment with the right people, mm-hmm. like being in the right community. So, I mean, you Definitely. Find that, yeah. Definitely. Okay. So you said that you know other reflectors. I mean, cause they're so uncommon, but because you are a reflector, like do other reflectors reach out to you, or it's just people that you've like, just met throughout your life?
They mostly reach out to me because of my book. I get okay. A lot of reflectors come to me for that reason. Although recently I've been less focused on the reflector thing. So it's interesting, change the focus, therefore less reflectors show up.
Yeah.
But what's really interesting is a lot of them have written to me. Now, I wrote my book from a place of there needed to be more information. This is just my personal journey. It was just meant to be for people that are just sort of starting to understand themselves. Mm-hmm. It certainly wasn't all the details and as deep as I would write one now. But what I found is a lot of reflectors will write to me and say, hey, I've just read your book and you've saved my life, or mm-hmm. you have turned things around, or you've given me hope. Because I think before we, you know, you tell someone they're a reflector and this is all these things that are, you know, potentially you're going to have issues with, or this is the difficulty you might have being very open. And it can feel like, well, what's the point? How am I going to manage? How do I do anything? You know, what's the point? I'm not actually here to work the same way. I'm not supposed to. It can be kind of a bit hard to take, I think. I mean, depressing. I think I've always been, it's a bit depressing, right? I mean,
yeah.
So I think it's just, it's re-looking at what does that mean? What is it? It doesn't mean that we're crippled. We've just got to, you know, do nothing and kind of sit around and wait for things. It just means we've just got to treat ourselves in a slightly different way for things to work.
Mm-hmm. And I think all types have that within the type. Like, you know, we're emotional manifesting generators. We have to wait too.
Yeah.
And to gain that clarity sometimes can be, you know, a lot of inner conflict back and forth. So,
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
It's interesting because we all have that aspect within the chart.
Totally. Look, and it's what's really interesting is a few people that actually had read parts of the book or whatever have said to me, oh, it was like reading a book about me, and they weren't reflectors. So I think what's really interesting is we're kind of a combination of all of those aspects.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that's what's beautiful about it is there's a lot more similarities, I think, than we realize in that way.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. One thing, when you were talking about like the Teflon, just having the Teflon coating that for reflectors, like where things don't stick as much as they do with other people who have more definition in their chart. Because we talked about reflectors, we talked about all the types. I don't know. It was a while ago. It was probably last year we went through all of them. And the reflectors, I just found that really fascinating because it's like being in a room with windows like open, and it's like a cross breeze. It's like it just like in and out, you know. You know, like where other types can, you know, it's not as easy for it to flow through them.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. It's also hard to be seen as a reflector. Like most people will see you as whoever you're with, and that's really interesting. Like you'll have, if you go somewhere Like I could be, go somewhere new and be with a bunch of people and they'll all tell me how amazing I am because I'm X. And usually X is what the group is about. It's not necessarily how I would have described myself. You know, it's not a bad thing. It's just something that happens. So it's lovely because people embrace you for that, but it's not necessarily pure you.
Yeah, yeah. That's interesting though. Like before you knew that you were a reflector and you knew that that was part of it, did you still feel that way? Like people aren't seeing me as who I am?
Yeah, I think I always noticed that. But I didn't understand why. And so that was, you know, one of those aha moments. Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah. Now it makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm not weird.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not a weirdo after all.
Yeah. So you got into the biofield tuning. What got you into that?
Look, when I first started doing this, I was finding that I really loved helping people understand their chart, but I also wanted to give somebody something that a tool, mm-hmm. something they could use to actually help them with, right. you know, what to right. do with that stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I'd learned about biofield tuning from someone, and there was something sort of kept popping up in my life, and so there was an opportunity really close to where I live to go and. Go and have some sessions. And from that, I realized how beautiful that was mm-hmm. and how, for me, sound is everything. Frequency is everything. And mm-hmm. it's what works for me. And it doesn't even have to be biofield tuning, any kind of sound, anything that's about really bringing me back into what I would call into a balance. Mm-hmm. So biofield tuning has been a really good way to do that. Now, what I find for me is, as a reflector, particularly if I'm doing biofield tuning with someone, so I'm you know working with them personally and tuning into their energy as a reflector, and I'm being so open, it's almost like I can really feel and get into them very purely. Mm-hmm. It's not being I'm not, there's no definition within me for it to be kind of filtering through.
Right.
So yeah. I was finding when I was doing the work, it was very, very effective for others. So.
Yeah. I have a sonic slider. I love it.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. So I've been doing, is it Eileen, right? Eileen McKinney.
Eileen. Yeah.
McCoskey. Eileen. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been doing that.
I didn't
for
know
a while.
That, Leslie.
Yes.
I'm really.
Yeah. Anything frequency.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
So you also do bioresonance therapy. Now, what is that?
So that is in a similar vein. I have a scanner. It's a bit harder to sort of describe, but it's essentially it's like bone conductor earphones that you wear that it scans your voice, and without going, you know, down a rabbit hole, your voice is an expression of what's happening within you. So it's showing emotions because it's the way that your body is resonating. Mm-hmm. So what it does is it finds where you're out of resonance, in other words, where you're out of alignment emotionally.
Really?
And it gives you sound, almost like a sound frequency track with some nice music and other tonal things underneath that you won't necessarily hear, so that you can play it and bring yourself back into resonance. So it's a really good way of balancing yourself, and you don't even really have to be consciously thinking about what's out or what's not out. It's sort of doing it for you.
It's like, I've done that too. It's really nice. An anecdote that just frequencies to help balance. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
So do you use that when you're dealing with clients?
Yeah. I use it when it's always an option. It's something where if I sense that it might be useful for someone, I might share it and say, you know, let me know if you're interested. Or sometimes when I'm working with people in a more of a coaching capacity, I'll use that with them. So we'll do some regular, whether we use the bioresonance machine or whether it's a bit of biofield tuning. It really depends on what's going on. So if it's just somebody who needs a little bit of rebalancing, the machine is fabulous. If it's someone that's got a lot of trauma or holding on to a lot of things, that's a bit more deep seated, or whether it's like, you know, something that's really kind of been there for a long time, I find that the biofield tuning helps to clear some of that as well. Mm-hmm. So I kind of go with what I intuitively feel will be best for someone, and then give them an opportunity if they feel like it's something they want to mm-hmm. have a go.
Yeah, that's a nice, because, you know, human design is wonderful to give you the awareness and the, and the tool to understand self, but then it's how do you take them to that next level of actually moving that energy. And so that's where I think the frequencies and different modalities come in really nice to complement.
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, one thing I was thinking, Amber, when you were talking, as you were talking about like how, I don't remember exactly how you put it, but when you're working with people and it's like you, it's almost like an innocence maybe, like where you don't get like, well, it's just part of being a reflector. I guess you don't take the energy in, but you can see it or sense it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Does that make sense what I just said?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So.
A blessing and a curse sometimes though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, did you grow up by yourself or do you have other siblings?
I have siblings. I was the oldest child. And in my family, I have a manifesting mother and a very, very defined, I think 8 or 9 centered defined father and sister who are both generators and a projector brother. So I didn't have any manifesting generators in my direct family, which is really interesting. My grandfather and grandmother lived with us and they were manifestors as well. So I had a fair bit of manifesting energy. But a lot of friends are manifesting generators, which I think was a really nice balance in, mm-hmm. in having that suite around me. But what's really interesting, I think, is as a child, I was seen as the problem.
I was going to ask if you like maybe felt like you kind of like you didn't fit in or like it was like you were just like the odd one in the family. And
yeah, what was really interesting is I was the focus but also the problem. As the oldest child and pretty responsible and very sensitive, my parents always said they thought I was a lot older than I was, so they put a lot of responsibility on me. But they were going through separation. They didn't actually break up at that point. They waited till I was 18, but they were going through separation. And because as a reflector, not realizing it, you're taking all of that stuff on and feeling responsible for the younger ones, and they often were blaming all of it on me. And in fact, I think I was about 6 years old and I suddenly needed glasses and had to sit up the front of the classroom. And only for that 1 year, so it's sort of embodied within me this sense of not being able to see and this behavior. And
like it was kind of a manifestation of something else, like it really wasn't your eyesight. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm. Hmm. Yeah. So, yeah. So, well, it's interesting. I mean, I'm sure, you know, it's been an interesting journey. And Leslie, did you have any other questions that you wanted to ask Amber?
I don't have to know.
Yeah, because we're going to try to keep it to about 30 minutes. So we don't, you know, people sometimes are like,
yeah,
they want to listen to something that's like an hour long, you know,
we could
talk, but
we could,
yes.
Yeah. So is there anything else that you wanted to add, Amber, that you wanted to let the audience know or let me or Leslie know?
No, but if you do know any reflectors, it's probably a good place to point them toward one book. And that's really not doing a plug so much. Yep.
No. We're going to do that. Helpful. Yeah, we're going to do that. I'm going to put a link to the to your book in the show notes, and I'm also going to put a link to your website. So, you know, anybody who's you know, wants to learn more about Amber, then it'll be. Well, I'm going to put it in there, but it's Amber Clements, CLEMENTS.com. And then I'll put the link to the book. So that's going to wrap things up for this episode. Thanks so much for joining us today. In our next episode, we've invited somebody to, it's going to be a projector. So we're going to talk to her. And if you'd like to see the show notes for today's podcast, you can find them on our website at www.alignandachievebydesign.com. The show notes will be listed under podcasts, episode 42. I'm going to say this again, because in case people don't go to the show notes, can you tell everybody what the name of your book is, Amber, on Amazon?
Sure. It's The Human Design Reflector, Barometer of the World.
Okay. So that's on Amazon. It's probably available on other sites that sell books. And then her website is www.amberclements.com. If you'd like to join us as we continue our exploration into topics about human design and other complementary modalities, please be sure to subscribe to our podcast. Thanks again and have a great day.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.